Joshua 24. It's important as we go into this chapter to know Joshua's life. Joshua was about 40 years old when all this Exodus started. The Hebrews had been slaves in Egypt, and Joshua was one of those slaves. He was born in Egypt. He did not know anything but Egypt. He was trapped there doing hard work, labor, overwhelmed by the force of the taskmasters above him. They cried out to God, and God sent Moses. And Moses led the children of Israel, of course, as he followed God, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And Joshua was right out front with Moses. He loved Moses. We love to have a good leader. We love to follow someone who loves God. And we know that they can access God. We mentioned all of these prayer requests this morning. And why? Because we're hopeful that everyone in this room is able to go before the throne of God and bow their hearts and ask God's mercy and grace and power and strength for these different needs. And if not all, at least somebody, right? But we need the prayers of others to help us as we approach God with our burdens. Joshua loved Moses and he followed Moses, and he was one of the ones that went in as a spy at Kadesh Barnea for those 40 days and 40 nights. He was one that said, "We can go. God has given it to us. Let's go and take the land." I mean, look, we've been gone from Egypt just, you know, a couple of months and we're already here. This is what God's promised us. Let's get it. But there were discouragers and doubters among them. And so the Jews did not enter the promised land from the south side as they reached it. Instead, they wandered 40 years, and those other adults with Joshua and Caleb died. Even Moses died in the wilderness before they entered the promised land. And as Moses was dying, God says, "Moses, you got to go. But I want you to go before all the people, and I want you to introduce Joshua as the new leader of Israel." And so Joshua became the head. He became the leader. And they looked up to him. Well, another 40 years has gone by and some change, and they have gone into the promised land. Of course, they crossed the Jordan, fought battles along the way, and they crossed Jordan, and they fought battles to overtake the land, and they won the battles, all but one, if you recall, which they lost because of sin. And then that got corrected, and they won again. So they have now occupied the land of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, as God promised Abraham. The tribes established, they begin to grow. Joshua is the leader, and things are good. Yeah, they've had a few squabbles along the way, but in the end, everybody's gotten their inheritance, and there's peace in the land of Israel. And now Joshua is old. And Joshua faces that final walk as he goes into eternity. But he calls the leaders of Israel together. We go to chapter 23. Should be on the same page across the page there. And in verse number 6 of chapter 23, he said, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." We don't want to be more strict, and we don't want to be looser. We want to do exactly what God wants us to do. Verse number 8, he said, "Cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." He said, "Look, guys, you can do this. You've proven you can do this. So hold tight to God." Verse number 10, "One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God." He said to cleave to God, hang on to God, serve God, and love God. It's one thing to serve somebody. It's another thing to be attached to somebody. But he finishes there and he said, love them. Love them. We go to chapter 24, remembering all that Joshua has seen. Joshua saw the Red Sea open and the people cross on dry land. He ate the manna that fell from heaven and drank of the water that came from the rock. He saw the pillar of fire that was God and the cloud that was God. He saw the tabernacle filled with God. And don't forget that Joshua was up there with Moses on Mount Sinai when the commandments were handed down along with all the other instructions. Joshua had witnessed all this. He knew God was real. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't somebody else's opinion. He knew the truth about God. And he's lived his life in the shadow of the Almighty. And then in verse number 2, the Bible says of chapter 24, he's gathered the people, and Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. So Abraham, if you recall, came from the land of Ur, and this is his father, Terah, and not Tara, but Terah. And so he lived in Ur, and God called him out. But look at what it says. He said, your father didn't serve me. Your father served other gods. There are people in this room today, and your testimony would be that your mother, your father, you don't have any history in your family of people who love Jesus and live for Jesus. Maybe there were some other religions or some other faiths, or maybe none at all. But what Joshua is saying, look, we can't always follow the traditions of those who came before us, especially if their traditions were corrupt, if they weren't good. We could just look at our history of America. We could see the mistakes that were made. We can look even in our lives, and we'll raise our hands on this one. How many of us grew up in a church? We said, boy, I sure wouldn't go along with what they said, right? And so there were some things along the way that just didn't match the Bible. And they were good, they were well-intended, they meant well, they were just wrong. And so we don't want to go to the right, we don't want to go to the left, we want to be right on track with God. And so Joshua's calling, he said, look, there were some who came before us, they may not have done right, they may not have led us right. Verse 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Let's say this, God chose us. God called Abraham. I would venture to say that while it's not included in verse number 2, God reached out to Terah and Terah didn't respond. God reached out to Nahor and Nahor did not respond. God reached out. Look, the testimony of God is not only written in creation, but it's written in the stars. The testimony of God tells us of a Savior that would come and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our sins and unrighteousness. God has written it, and He gives us a fresh start each day with a new sunrise. God's testimony, God's witness is all about us. And the more you study it, and there are so many good resources of teaching of creation and God's design, and not only refuting evolution, but showing just how wonderful the creation is down to the very detail. It would be wonderful if instead of just trying to argue against evolution, if we would just promote creation, if we would just know the truth. I don't think enough of us know enough about it to be able to intelligently explain all that God has done in creation. But it's all there. And so God reached out to them, but they didn't respond. But God reached out to Abraham. Look, there may be people in your past that didn't respond to God, but you did, and you're here. You see, we have responded to God. We did accept God's call on our lives. We did hear when His Spirit drew us in. Look at what He continues to say there in verse 3. I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood, led him through all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, gave him Isaac, gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. God has given us so much. He's pointed us. He's led us. He's guided us and directed us in our lives. That's what He's saying there. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. You see, the testimony's there. God has revealed the hazards of rejecting His will. We know what happens to us when we rebel against God, don't we? Here's the thing. It's not that God is punishing us. It's that we're drinking poison to our own soul. We're doing it to ourselves. It's not that God is up there keeping score and sending out lightning every time we mess up. We're reaching out and grabbing the lightning. We're reaching out and grabbing the poison and the hazards that are destroying our lives, that are hurting our families and our marriages and our careers and our health. And we're doing it to ourselves. God doesn't have to intervene. But God says, look, I'll show you a better way where you can avoid all those problems. Are we following Him? He reveals the hazards of rejecting God's will. Joshua saw the flies and the frogs and the water turned to blood and all of those, the darkness, all of the plagues. Joshua saw all that. There were some still alive that had seen it. But see, it was up to them then to tell the story. It was up to them to pass it down. Just like it is for us. You see, our responsibility is to reach our children. And hopefully our grandchildren, if we ever get any. And our great-grand, and whoever, nieces and nephews and cousins and co-workers. It's our job to tell the story and to rehearse to them the ways of God. It's our job. Verse number 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. Your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. You see, God's testimony is, it's not a secret. It's obvious, God's influence and God's impact on the world. We could take testimonies today. We won't. And since I say we won't, how many of you would give one? Right? A whole bunch of you since I said we're not going to do it. We could take testimonies today of people who God has freed from alcohol or drug addiction or gotten them through the darkest moments of life and seasons of life and brought them through places they never thought they'd make it through. He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet on the rock to stay. God is good to us. He's delivered us through impossible situations, given us many victories. Let's look at verse 11. You went over Jordan, came to Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. Not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. You didn't do it. God did it. You see, that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about God doing what we can't. God, asking God to give us strength to do what we can, but to do beyond what we can. And He said, I sent word ahead and they moved out. They cleared out. I defeated your enemies. It wasn't your weapons of war. It wasn't your valiance. God did it. Not only that, look at verse 13. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, vineyards, oliveyards, which you planted not, do you eat? Look at what I've given you. Are we blessed or not? Oh, we're so blessed. Yes, we could look around and find those in this country who are less fortunate, but just being here makes us more fortunate than most of the world. And in Florida especially, right? Man, this beautiful weather we've got. Don't know what's going to happen one minute to the next, but it's beautiful weather. All four seasons in one day. God's been so good to us. He's proven His protection for His people and given us many victories. Gotten us through impossible situations and given us what we don't deserve. Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and truth. put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. He's given us so many reasons to trust Him and to serve Him. And He says it's time to put aside the other stuff. We cannot serve two sides. We've got to be all in for God, all in for Jesus, surrendered and submitted to Him, and stop standing on the fence. We've got to get off the fence when it comes to faith. Well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm glad you are, but you could be a good saved person. You could have the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. You could have a Savior in heaven, a mediator who listens to your prayers and carries them forward, and the Spirit of God in you working on your behalf, even praying on your behalf when you don't know how to pray. And you could go to heaven when it's your time and be a good person, but be a saved good person, because just being a good person is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to forgive your sins. You're not going to balance the square, balance the scales. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is Joshua in his dying breath. He's getting ready to go, and he says, I've really got to share these things with you. I want you to know my heart, my convictions. I wonder, when it comes to us, and we're reaching out to our loved ones, do we say the same thing to them? Brother Al McDermott was dying. And he was preaching in the hospital hallways. And I went to the house. He was laying in they had a hospital bed there in the living room. And boy, he was preaching. Come over here. Come here. I need you to come around here, he'd say. You need to put your faith in Jesus. He'll forgive your sins. Somebody else would come in the door. Hey, come around here. I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something. You need to put your faith in Jesus. Do you have faith in Jesus? His dying breath. Joshua did the same thing, didn't he? He said, you've got to choose. There is no neutral. Well, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't really think I'm going to heaven. I'm just going to hang out here. It's not going to happen. Had a friend, I loved him, and for all the years, I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and he would say, Derek, when I die, I'm going 6 foot under. And that's it. I got news for you. That's not it. Because the Bible says not only will the dead in Christ be raised up, but on that final judgment day, all will be raised up to stand in judgment. There is no neutral. We must choose. We must choose with our soul and with our actions. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Verse 23. He says, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the God of Israel. We've got to choose. What is it in our lives? I don't suspect there's anybody in here who's got a little Buddha on the counter, or, you know, some Hindu god that you pray to. I doubt that's the case. If it is the case, put it away. But I imagine our gods are simpler than that. Maybe they have George Washington's picture, or Grant or Jackson or Franklin on the face, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. The little green paper. Or maybe it's a career, or maybe it's a position, or maybe it's someone's affection. And we live all of our moment consumed with the idea, I've got to live up to that. I've got to listen to me. It's time to put away the gods. It's time to put away the distractions. Surrender ourselves to God and say, God, I will serve you. from your heart to God's heart, would you say, now, God, I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself to you. It's my choice. I give myself to you. Joshua said, choose ye this day. It's time, guys. Look around the world. Do you really want to have that decision hanging out there and saying, I'll think about it, maybe I'll do it later? There's not time for that. We've got to choose. We've got to choose faith and choose Jesus and choose life and choose to pray and choose to share our hope. The Bible says that we must be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. Choose to trust God through the tough times. You see, our choices reveal who we are and determine who we become. It's our choices. Don't let the crisis that you're going through define you. But let me assure you of this, the choices you make in this season of crisis will determine who you become. The choices will define us. You say, well, something bad happened to me. Well, what did you choose to do in that time? Because that's what defines us. I beg of you today, don't do it for me, but do it for you. Choose to serve the Lord. Put all your hope in Him and trust Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, Pastor, I'm ready to be saved. You could do it where you are. Talk to the Lord where you are. Pray. Reach out to Him right now from your heart to His and just cry out and say, God, I surrender my life to you. Maybe you're already saved and you say, you know, I'm ready to go all in. I'm ready to bury my past in the waters of baptism and be risen to walk in newness of life. And you're ready to be baptized. This is your opportunity. Make that as a choose today. You say, Pastor, I've not been living right. I mean, I'm saved and I've been baptized and I'm just not committed like I should be. I'm kind of playing both sides, straddling the fence. But today I choose. I choose this day to serve the Lord. Would you stand? God, give us wisdom, give us counsel, and anoint us with your power and your spirit. Open our hearts and our minds to the truth, our spiritual ears to your voice. Draw us to you. That no one leaves this place without an assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. That no one leaves this place wondering if they're going to heaven when they die. Wondering if you care. Wondering if you love them. Wondering if they have a place in your plan. Grip our hearts and minds, our spirits, our souls. Reach us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity to come. You want to kneel? At the altar or pray where you are. If you want me to pray with you, just come down the aisle and we'll pray together. Choose. There is no neutral. There is no neutral. Don't put it off any longer. Well, you know, my daddy didn't and my grandpa didn't. Isn't that exactly how Joshua started? He said, they did wrong, but that doesn't mean you have to do wrong. Can I tell you, my grandfather was an alcoholic on my dad's side, my great-grandfather on my mom's side. You see, I had a double chance to be an alcoholic, but it was my choice. It was my choice. And it's your choice too. We do not have to walk the broken paths of those who came before us. We can choose to make a straight path for those who follow. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Ladies' meeting is Tuesday, and Brotherhood breakfast next Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy Keel to dismiss us, please.